startling new developments, the Canadian clergy slammed the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau for invoking the Emergencies Act and other tyrannical actions there in Canada. A group of clergy there sent an open letter to the Prime Minister just this week here, and we'll get a front row seat right from the streets of Ottawa with the Canadian truckers there. And how would you like the globalists in charge of your health? Well, using the backdrop of COVID-19, it appears that the World Health Organization, WHO, is making their move to become the world power, all things health. What could possibly go wrong there, huh? Dr. Peter Bregan joins us on the latest power grab from the globalist. And also Communist China's stranglehold on Western democracies. We'll take a look at the Marxist fifth columnist into governments of Western democracies. This is a powerful, powerful segment with Dr. Pedro Blas Gonzalez. All that's coming up next, my friends, on Viewpoint this Sunday.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekend news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outlaw. Well, if you ever thought that liberty is free, clean, or easy, well, just look to the north and see what's taking place with our brothers and sisters in Canada, I would say. You have the mounted police pushing through the crowds, hundreds of arrests being made, freezing bank accounts so folks can't get their money, threatening citizens of arrest if they assist the truckers by any means. The scene has turned very, very ugly with the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau really doubling down. And there are a lot of folks calling him out, including the clergy throughout Canada, calling the Prime Minister out. And it's remarkable what's taking place there. And, this letter I'm going to share with you today is really something special you need to hear. Let me bring on right now here, Sam is with us, and he's a trucker mechanic on the front lines there and has been there from the get-go. A remarkable, remarkable man, I believe, and has been given firsthand accounts of what's happening there. What we're seeing is within the imagery and the videos is very striking. There were, with some of the mounted police, the horses actually trampled on some people. I've seen videos and pictures of that. And really, there's been a full-on assault of the truckers and the Canadian people, for that matter. Give us a sense, please, of what the moment is like there right now in Canada.
It is very important that the truth is spoken here. What we've experienced in the last couple of days here is one of the most disheartening things I've ever witnessed. Fellow man attacking fellow man. Every one of these gentlemen has sworn an oath to protect us. I've personally reached out to them in request of assistance, doing what we're doing, and the fellows that I'm doing it with. We have been 110% professional. We have through every hoop that they've asked, and essentially shift change to shift change, the goalpost move. As soon as you get a new group of individuals in, it's everything we worked hard to negotiate and communicate is thrown right out the window. The empathy that is in these officers is gone. They are, we've had a whole different shift. The officers I was just engaged with now, they're from the lower mainland, Vancouver. They're bringing the officers in from around our country to battle us in a very disheartening manner. Yeah, the soulless beings that we're battling is it seems to be the greatest battle of all. It's a difficult moment right now for us to remain calm and professional. But we understood when we left home that we would be faced with these hurdles, and we are here, and in defense of everybody that deserves to be free.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. You're not only representing your Canadian brothers and sisters at this point, but really the world is paying attention here to what's happening there, no doubt about it. Trudeau has refused to meet with anybody in the convoy. There have been multiple requests. He's refused to meet with the organizers, refused to meet with any of the truckers. And obviously he is really concerned, and he's doubling and tripling down now on things. And strong arming is the word. I mean, I just laid the list out there of freezing bank accounts and arresting all kinds of people and really trying to bring this to a conclusion by clearing, well, the ambassador bridge for instance, in other areas, clearing them out. What is the attitude, the sense, or the feeling of the truckers there? How long can they hold out for this? I mean, let's remind people, we're talking about weather that does not allow you to hang outside for long periods of time. Surely, I mean, it's freezing temperatures. I mean, some of these guys are used to it, but not for long, long periods of time like that. And the conditions have become very, very difficult. How long can they hold out?
With the security blanket of the public showing up, it's warming our hearts enough to stand tall, to stand strong. There are gentlemen there that know the overreach, and they are willing to see it through right to the end. The more that they engage on us, the more evident it is the importance of us being here.
Sam, do you still believe that? Now, what you just said, let me stop there a moment, because you just said something. I didn't think I would hear you say that on this talk here, and I'm pleased you did. But we're asking a lot of people at this point. I mean, I can see what's happening here. You look between the tea leaves. It's not real difficult here. And it may not end well at that point, because you're talking about someone that is not going to relinquish his powers. He's become, this is totalitarianism at its finest right now, is what you're dealing with Trudeau. This says nothing about the people. This is a government cracking down. It's a Tiananmen Square moment, isn't it?
The last thing that the Prime Minister of Canada did is he shut down Parliament, trying everything in his powers and things that he has absolutely zero legal grounds to do. And these officers are still going along with it. The police chief of Ottawa resigns. They put another person, Buddy reads the dossier, says this is absolutely ridiculous. He resigns. So they bring a third guy in on Thursday. He looks at it and he's like, this is an overreach. He signs the paperwork. They bring in the militants that are sitting here literally harming us. They are not here to serve and protect us. They are going on a fake narrative. Right now, the House of Commons, where our parliamentary system is absolutely not working for us until Tuesday, because it's a long weekend. They plan this out absolutely 100% strategic to try and paint us as vigilantes and as horrible people. Mm-hmm. And like I stated before, the pride and professionalism that is surrounding me here, it's not gonna end well for them. We have the love, we have the compassion. If they continue to harm us, that is just more rope for them to hang themselves with.
You said to me earlier on, one of the first talks you and I had, Sam, you had said, your quote, they don't have a contingency plan to battle us. Now, when you look at right now in what Trudeau is using to battle you, because he is battling you, I guess this is their new plan then. So we've gone from they don't have a contingency plan to this is what they're throwing at you. How do you size that earlier remark up and now at this very moment?
No, as far as I'm concerned, they still don't have a plan. They're just throwing everything in their arsenal. They're just throwing whatever they can at us, mm-hmm. hoping to agitate us enough to in entice aggravation. Still hundreds of people in the square singing, dancing, loving, knowing that we are making the positive difference and that we're on the right side of history. That there, you know, I went to bed last night. I didn't have fear. I didn't feel distraught. I was sad because of the battles I'm dealing with. It is absolutely disgusting when you sit there and try and find soul and heart in these people. And they're like, well, we're just what we're told.
You say so many great things here, but the right side of history. I want to read now to listeners and to you, Sam, because I don't think you've read this, but this is really amazing what I'm going to read now. This is some excerpts is what I'm going to read. Can't read the whole thing, okay. But this is the Canadian clergy throughout the country addressing the Prime Minister Trudeau for invoking the Emergencies Act and other tyrannical actions they're suggesting. And I'll pause in between a couple of spots here and get your opinion. So let me just give you this. This is remarkable. Here we go. For the past 2 years, we have sought to respectfully and peacefully make known to all levels of government our profound concern about the indefinite suspension of civil liberties, coercive mandates, and perpetual state interference in the life, freedom, and worship of the church. The truckers' convoy containing many Christians, including pastors, have captured the imagination not only of this nation, but other nations around the world. Now, listen to this here, Sam. This is interesting. The Ottawa protest has presented your government with a wonderful opportunity to meet with and speak to ordinary Canadians lawfully and peacefully, requiring the restoration of their constitutional rights. However, in response to their singing, praying, dancing, candy floss, bouncy castle speeches about the Constitution and outpourings of patriotic love for their country, your government has not only refused to meet with these citizens to hear their concerns, you have insulted, degenerated, and lied about them, further dividing a hurting and broken nation. Let me pause there a moment. What do you say about that, Sam, what I just read there?
It seems absolute truth. I'm glad to hear that it's been put down in writing, because that is exactly it. They have completely disregarded us as Canadians. That they feel that we aren't worth it, and they have no problems with harming us to remove our views and our morals from current society.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people that here that have researched the Great Reset and the New World Order and the so-called elites. And we're running through the forest with long sticks, batting the hell out of every single hornet's nest we've known that has been tucked up in the corners. Like, well, don't go near them. But right now, we're so over it. We're going to smash those hornet nests wide open. And you know what? At least they'll lose some traction. Like, because it is real. It is evident. Yeah. Every single one of these members of parliament have been trained to be this heartless. And it is very evident to everybody here.
I love your version there of the reset, the New World Order running through the forest, the sticks. That was in the hornet's nest. Perfect. This is one of the most powerful letters I've ever read in my life. Listen to this, Sam. It goes on to say, Mr. Trudeau, with great respect, you are neither the king nor the ruler of Canada. Both you and your colleagues are public servants sent for a short time to Parliament at our behest as citizens to govern under God in terms of the Canadian Charter and to seek a harmony of public legal interest. You do not grant people rights and responsibilities that are theirs as God's image bearers and a free people. Since you do not grant them, you have no authority to remove them. Your government does not grant people the right to their bodily integrity, the right to work or earn a living, the right to decide for their children or to be with their families or die in loved ones, the right to gather to worship and obey God, the right to travel in their own land or enter and leave. Civil government exists to protect their pre-political and fundamental freedoms, not bestow and remove them as if it can function in the place of God. Wow.
That is a marvelous statement. And the impact that COVID has caused across Canada and the world. I mean, I have walked up and down the street of Ottawa here, the small businesses that are vacant, the boarded up and like they've never existed there. It is odd that they are choosing to peg us for the failures of our middle class. And there is no lower class middle class now. They have they've done everything in their power to strong arm those that they think are their, you know, their biggest enemy. They've done a very good job of crippling our society. And you're 100% right. He is a representative of us, supposedly. Like, he is our employee, and he's left work three times this week, walked out like a coward. You're fired. If you were my employee and you walked off the job like that, I would not allow you back in his first election. How did he get elected back in? there is so much evidence of foul play through his entirety, mm-hmm. and yet he doesn't have to be held accountable for it. That is right. nonsense.
Right. All right. I want to give you this final point, which, again, this really brings it to a head. Listen to this carefully now. And I'd like to give you the final word here, Sam, and bring together your thoughts of how this really will end. I mean, you're talking about, again, back through the forest with the sticks and the hornet's nest. You're talking about this is really a moment for not just for Canada, for humanity. I see this as a moment for humanity, for all people. Listen to this here and then respond to this in your final thoughts. We implore you to step back from the brink, restore the constitutional freedoms of the people, respect the God-given rights of our citizenry, and above all, to humble yourself and take a knee before Christ the King, lest you perish in the way. We urge you to repent of the sins of pride, rebellion against God, and bearing false witness. You have not displayed a brotherly care of love for these honest, hard-working people who have tried to peacefully bring their very serious concerns to your attention. Our hope and prayer for you and your government is that you will lift the emergency measures, end these lawless mandates, and enact justice for a people who elected you to that purpose. For he shall have dominion from sea to sea.
The power of the Creator is very present in my life now. I've never been one to acknowledge it, but it is the most real thing in the world. They will be, the only thing I would add to that is that he accepts the repercussions of his actions. The people that have continued to help this agenda along, every single one of you has to be held accountable for it, because that is the realities of it. Is he has manipulated us one and all to hate on each other. The minute that they restricted our ability to congregate and communicate and speak freely with one another, that was moment I realized that they were soulless. They're on their own agenda, and it has nothing to do with peace, love, and harmony. The truth that will set us free, the love and support of the spirits that are supporting us, mm-hmm. is the strength that is giving me confidence. I mean, I have support from above. My son's in heaven, and I roll coal so in hopes he can see it, because it made him smile. Yeah. And this industry has been my world in my life, and this is the little bit that I can do to help humanity see the truth.
But now, looking at all this, he's breaking the spirits of the people. You've seen some of your brothers out there on the front lines. You've seen them in the coldest of cold and totally broken, because I've talked to you off mic and you've shared those moments with me. With that said, how can this come to a head of any kind if Trudeau stays on his course and you're dealing with the Mounties and the military and all of the power that he has amassed there?
I honestly, there's no way that he is allowed to stay in control of this country. That is it. We are done listening to his fake words and his support group that is carrying this on. That world, essentially everybody that's a part of that World Economic Forum needs to be completely exposed. They are infiltrated every aspect of our authoritative beings, and they have to be held accountable.
Sam, thank you for joining us on Viewpoint this Sunday.
Malcolm, thank you very much.
You've heard the term, I'm sure, COVID long haulers syndrome. And this is a real thing. This is impacting millions and tens of millions of people like you and I that have had COVID. And there are many effects of it. Some people, it's hair loss. There's varicose veins. There's all kinds of things that are happening. Brain fog is a real problem where you forget things easy. And it's the results of COVID is all what that is. Now, one of the things I take is focus and recall. This is from Healthy Cell. And it's a supplement. It's gel packed. So it's a little pack you can put in your mouth right from the pack, or put it in a few ounces of water. It's tangerine orange taste. Very, very good. I put mine in water because I take other things with it. But the idea is it helps us boost our brain power is the idea, which is it's very effective. It helps us to concentrate longer, enhance our recall, improve mental speed, all the things that are vitally important to us as thinking people, right? So listen, the concept of this gel pack, this would be the equivalent, to give you an example, of taking six large capsules, if you will, versus this little, very great tasting little package here of focus and recall. Our listeners get 20% off that first order. Just use the code OUTLOUD or go to healthycell.com/OUTLOUD or click the banner ads back at America Out Loud. There's a whole host of terrific products there for Healthy Cell you want to check out. It is the difference of a quality life or just being subpar. We're going to take a quick pause here and be up with Dr. Peter Breggin in just a moment here and talk about the globalist plan to take over our world's health system, specifically the World Health Organization and Tedros and their plans that he has uncovered. This is quite a powerful program coming up right next. You're listening to Viewpoint this Sunday.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's healthycell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, the order of the day apparently seems to be totalitarianism that we're seeing in a lot of this is through the guise of the COVID pandemic and what has transpired around the globe, really over the last couple of years, my friends. And it is a moment. It's not just a moment as we talked up front with the Canadian truckers or with Americans here or some other country. It's a moment for humanity, I would suggest to you. And that's what I really believe. You know, that letter I read to you up front from the clergy in Canada, nothing could be more striking than that. And that has really got to pull at your heartstrings and give you a sense of the gravity of the moment. Isn't that the sense? The gravity of the moment. It is not lost on me. I hope it's not lost on you, my friends. We'll talk next here about another moment, and that is the World Health Organization. You've heard quite a bit about them, and Tedros, who is the head of that organization, and his relationships with Communist China, and a lot of the going-ons early on in the pandemic, and the hijacking of a lot of these government agencies and things that had taken place. It was a interesting op-ed, an essay on America Out Loud. Tedros introduces globalist plan to take over world's health systems. It has been read by a lot of people. It's gotten a lot of attention because of the nature of what we're talking about here. And we'll do that next here now with Dr. Peter Breggin is here. He's the author of the book COVID-19 and the Global Predators. We are their prey. And that feels like what it is, isn't it? Dr. Breggin, both him and his wife, Ginger, even, has both worked hand in hand, I would say to you, to uncover a worldwide web of predators that include many of the names you've seen out there. But these are all very powerful people, including the agencies, the NIH, CDC, FDA, Communist China, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot to this story here. The big point to make right up front here is how would any of us like the globalists in charge of our health? Now, when you say that, it doesn't sound logical, but yet we've seen a lot of things that have not been logical over the last couple of years. And using the backdrop of COVID-19, it appears that the World Health Organization here is making their move to become the world power of all things health. You point that out in your piece, and you bring it back to this very interesting letter from the executive committee at the World Health from Tedros, January 24th. Let me give you the floor now to give listeners a real sense of the deep concern you have for what's transpiring here, please.
Well, glad to be with you again, Malcolm. It's just wonderful to be working with you. On January 24th, not very long ago, a couple of weeks ago, Tedros addressed the Executive Committee of the World Health Organization, WHO, and other people, national representatives around the world. And what he said to the committee was the culmination of at least a year or more work on his aim of making the World Health Organization in charge of universal global healthcare. In other words, a takeover from the sovereignty of individual nations, control of healthcare to the World Health Organization. And in a second, we'll look at, well, who is that really? Because it's not really just Tedros at all. He's a figurehead. Right. In his address on the 24th, he said that his main priority, his fifth priority, is to urgently strengthen WHO as the leading and directing authority on global health at the center of the global health architecture. He also, later on in the talk, refers to universal and equitable access to medical solutions. When you hear the word universal, you know what that means. It's exactly what we've been fighting on a local level in the U.S., universal health care. And equitable means that countries that have more will have less. In other words, in particular, the U.S. will be redistributed its resources.
They really seem to be against capitalism and free markets, for sure, is one of the underlying principles here. You know, one of the statements he makes in that letter that is really earth moving. If you ever questioned, and I know I have, let me be honest with everybody, I surely have, when people talked about, you know, the global reset, the new world order, one world government, I never really bought into that over the years, Dr. Breggin. The truth of the matter is, and listeners know that about me, I didn't really years back believe it, but I surely have come a long way down that line. Yes. I have to tell you, only because of the evidence. I'm not trying to be a smart guy here, but when he makes a statement like this, I mean, no matter how optimistic you are, and I am a very optimistic dude, okay, for people. But when you look at this statement right here, boy, if this doesn't stop it, he says this, Tedros, in this committee meeting letter extraordinaire, he says, "We are one world. We have one health, we are one WHO." And when he makes that statement right there, it tells you, combined with your point of being the priority to urgently strengthen the WHO as the leading and directing authority on global health at the center of the global health architecture, well, that should give everybody their shiver jivers up and down their back spine. I will tell you that right now. But let me ask you this. Now, I want to educate listeners a moment, because you're pretty well versed in this, far more than all of us, because you've been swimming in this stuff, you and your wife Ginger, for some time. And so let me ask you this here. For people who haven't really been paying attention, and because they're busy with life, it's not a criticism, it's just a fact. When it comes to WHO, why are we so concerned with WHO? Why? What did they do? When, if you could cap, just get into a summary point here for us, what, like through the pandemic and early on in communist China and WHO and how this pandemic rolled out, and Tedros, where were they all in this? And why should we be concerned with WHO, looking at their track record over the last couple of years?
Well, WHO has been the stooge of communist China? It's interesting. I found for the first time the letter that President Trump on May 18th, 2020, sent to WHO, to Tedros via a tweet And that's been taken down. But essentially, he outlines that from the very start, Hu kept praising China for its transparency when China was, in fact, disappearing its own scientists who were saying that in print that we know that this virus has come from our own laboratories and it's manufactured. They were literally disappearing them and suppressing them. They literally were denying that it was an infectious virus, and Hu didn't contradict that, didn't demand to have a look at anything. They actually, China actually lied and said that there was no problem with having transportation active in the world while it shut down its own transportation and spread the virus, very notably to the United States, with hundreds of thousands of travelers. It opposed Trump's shutting down the travel from the China. And he could only do the direct travel. He couldn't do it when they stopped in Switzerland or Berlin or some other place. And they have just opposed any examination of what China's role is in this. And it's no exaggeration to say that Tedros is a pet of Xi Jinping. I was very interested to see today we found out that Tedros had actually been asked to be one of the torch carriers by the leaders of China in the Winter Olympics.
And, you know, we haven't seen, I'm so glad you unearthed that piece of information, because, you know, we haven't seen that anywhere. And it was remarkable when I seen the image of what you had sent me prior to the broadcast here, that he literally is carrying the torch there.
Yes, yes,
I know,
yes.
I know. It's an eye scratcher here for sure. All right, you give a perfect example there of what you just explained, Dr. Bregan, as to why we have reason, would be the way I would say it, to not exactly trust the World Health Organization and Tedros as far as.
But they're the point of the spear. They really are, Malcolm, the point of the spear aimed at the heart of America, because way back 10 years ago, we document in the book, Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab working 10 years ago with Fauci, right, and the UN, we're going to use and did use Hu as the primary enforcer of controlling the vaccine assault on the world, and particularly on the United States. So that was all planned way ahead. A couple of other things that are important, that, you know, Hu funds the World Health Organization. People don't realize Bill Gates has three different groups, starting with, of course, his own foundation, through which he funds the World Health Organization. He is probably the biggest donor in terms of the influence he has on other donors, of over $1 billion. Now, interestingly, right now, Germany is a top contributor, and I want to link that. I'm going to link that directly to what's going on now. So they give $1 billion. You wonder why Germany? And the United States is a little bit way down there, third or fourth. And China's funding is just minimal. They get stuff real cheap from people. I mean, they do like $30 million or something. Now, who is supporting the World Health Organization's takeover? You might think, well, let's not worry about it. What kind of countries would be in stupid and self-destructive, insanely self-destructive enough to want Hu to run their healthcare systems? The entire EU, the European Union, has signed on. The cutting edge was a fellow named Michel, who is the head of the policy branch of the EU, which is called the EC, but now they're all in on it. And among the individual countries, Merkel from Germany has called for going along with this entire program. So you have her involved, and she goes back to having been trained as a younger woman in the youth program of the Young Leaders Program of Klaus Schwab at Davos and the new Economic Forum. So the ties here are just extensive. And then many other countries have gone along now with this program that sounds to us like the end of national sovereignty, and probably is. Macron has gone along with it from France. Boris has gone along with it from Great Britain. So we're talking about a major movement that threatens a block against the U.S. of people who are developing a universal health care, not just for the emergencies, but for basic health care in the world.
They list out some of the goals, and I want to share that with listeners a little bit, because this is some of the detail that I think is really important to the case that you make here about our sovereignty when it comes to our health and our well-being. And let's be clear, nothing is more important than our, and we've learned this from the pandemic, than our health and well-being in our bodies. And nothing is more critical than what we're talking about right now, which is why I put this front and center into Viewpoint this Sunday today. Response to any future pandemics. I mean, are they already planning to have future pandemics? I ask you, my fellow Americans. I don't know. You tell me. Response to, and we haven't had one in 100 years, but now it looks like they're going to, you know, response to any future pandemics, in particular by ensuring universal and equitable access to medical solutions, such as, vaccines. Oh, I can't wait. Medicines and diagnostics. A stronger international health framework with the WHO as the coordinating authority. I love that word, authority. Love it. On global health matters and the One Health approach connecting the health of humans, animals, and our planet. I got to tell you what, Dr. Breggin, that scares the hell out of me.
Well, it is very, very frightening, and that's why I chose to emphasize it. I can explain it a little further to people. I mean, once you start talking about equitable access, you really do mean the flattening of resources, spilling them out over the world, and then hoping the producers will keep producing them. This will mean the collapse of healthcare worldwide, just as it has collapsed in virtually every communist country. And the One Health concept also ties the WHO to the CDC, because our CDC is promoting exactly the same thing, One Health, the idea that health of people is connected to the health of animals and our shared environment. Again, it's all about dominating humanity, making people second or third or fourth in the priority list. They want a smaller population. I hate to say it, Malcolm, but that's why they don't bother keeping track of how many deaths there are from the vaccines, because they knew there were going to be deaths. We proved that in the book. They knew they were going to have many, many hundreds of thousands of deaths from the vaccines. That's a part of the plan. And I can tell you, for me and Ginger, basically conservative people, to come to that conclusion took a lot of evidence.
Yeah. Well, let me bring it to this big final point, Dr. Breggin. And you say in the piece here, you say, we must act now. The plan is to have the treaties rolling out starting at the 76th Assembly of WHO's legislative body in 2023, with the adoption of the treaty instrument by 2024, potentially transforming our world forever with an inevitable progression toward a Chinese communist empire. Give you the last word on, let's talk about the action. When you say we must act now, what should we do? What can we do, please?
Yeah. Get involved with your Board of Education, get involved with your local, whatever political party is supporting the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. You will find that you'll be working with the most wonderful people in the world. If I hadn't joined this movement with Ginger, I never would have met Malcolm. I wouldn't have met the wonderful people who've written introductions to our book, like Peter McCullough and Zev Zelenko and Dr. Lee Valit. There's just a swelling up of great, great people. Mm-hmm. Find your own way in. Get involved.
Yeah, there's a movement. Well, get involved. That's always my rallying call. Get involved. Get loud. There you go. You're right. This grassroots movement is real, of patriots, and we're seeing it around the world. Dr. Peter Breggin, always a privilege to have you. Thank you for joining me on Viewpoint this Sunday.
Thank you, Malcolm.
You know, the book, again, let me tell you, friends, is called COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. And that book is also available right on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com. That'll connect you to the bookstore to get it. And you'll see it right there. And in the America Out Loud bookstore, all those links are on the front page. Just explore the site a little bit. Now, I want to take a quick moment, and I want to tell you about an amazing new product that I was delighted to come across here, and it is the Genesis Fogger, So a lot of times, you know, through this whole pandemic, we've all become, you know, the mask wearing, the air, particles, disease, viruses, COVID. I mean, we all got a life's lesson here in a short period of time, basically, through the COVID deal, for sure. A lot of things we discovered is these particles in virus they don't really, when they land on things, we all always had this thing, they land on packages or surfaces, that's where you would catch the disease or the virus. Well, that really wasn't the problem. It was the shared air that we breathe. That was the problem when you're interacting with people. Now, the reason I bring this up even is that, you know, there's no shortage of bad deals and viruses and variants coming out of China. As I've been talking about, there's a whole host of these things happening. So we're going to have to be super alert as a people, for real, with our health. Talking about health just now with Dr. Breggin, well, yeah, not to be really alert. One of the ways to do that is through the Genesis Fogger. In your home, especially when you have people in and out, things going on, you just use this great little piece there, put it on your shoulder, and you actually clean the air. You could do it in your homes, your surfaces, your businesses, all kinds of environments you want to clean this. It uses HOCL, which is an amazing product, which I've learned so much about, and we'll learn a lot more about it. I want to encourage you to check this out a little bit more. And by the way, there's also a really cool application. You've been hearing us talk with McCullough about the nasal application of povidone. Iodine. Well, this HOCL is so amazing. You put it on your fruits and vegetables. You can also use it to get into that nose cavity and clean out. That's where the viruses get in there. And then you don't want that to get into your lungs, my friends. So you really, that's the problem right there with COVID, why so many people were hit so hard with it. So check it out. GenesisFogger.com/outloud. All our listeners get 15% off that order of that product. Just use the code out loud there on the site. You'll also see banner ads back at America Out Loud. Truly excited. These are really good people and they want to help people along here. And that's the way to do it here. Check that out, please. All right. We're going to pause here a moment here, but I got to tell you what, up next, I'm really excited about to introducing you to Dr. Pedros Gonzalez, really and truly another terrific op-ed, but this is a professor of philosophy out of Miami that you're going to be thrilled with. And talking about the rise of big governments, well, buckle your seatbelt up. Got another segment coming up on that story just ahead. You're listening to Viewpoint this Sunday.
It's time to rethink COVID disinfection. A study by Harvard, Drexel, and Virginia Tech concluded, we don't have a single documented case of COVID transmission through surfaces. The reality is that COVID spreads mainly through the air. Shared air is the problem, not shared surfaces. The solution is the Genesis Fogger, which uses natural HOCL to disinfect both air and surfaces simultaneously. It's perfect for home or business. NIH says HOCL may well be the disinfectant of choice for coronaviruses. There's nothing more natural or more effective. Genesis fogs at the precise particle size to combat COVID and other harmful pathogens. It's what's missing from your disinfecting protocol. Visit GenesisFogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at GenesisFogger.com/OUTLOUD.
Welcome back to Viewpoint this Sunday. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, yours truly. And thank you, as always, for joining us here, being on the mission. It's good to have you in on the Weekend News Magazine. Boy, we're on it today. I tell you, talking about big governments, totalitarian takeovers and authoritative figures. And that seems to be the thread running through Viewpoint this weekend for sure. But there's a lot of this is an eye opener. It's designed to get us to think surely outside of the lines a little bit to understand what's really happening in the world around us, my friends, because often we're all so busy with our own lives. we don't always pay attention to those big chess pieces that are being moved around the world. So we'll talk about some of that next year. In the rise of big governments here, really excited to have on here with us, Dr. Pedro Blas Gonzalez joins us, and he is a professor of philosophy at Barry University in Miami Shores, Florida. His op-ed, The Common Global Administrative State, which is a brilliant read, and I want to dive into that next. Dr. Gonzalez, you say here in the piece, the state exists as a social safety net. We've been told for about eight decades now that assertion began to turn sinister, indicative of things to come in democratic governments. After World War II, with the infiltration of Marxist fifth columnists into the governments of Western democracies. Now, this got my attention because we're always talking about the bureaucracies and the agencies of government and how they've been, they're hostile. They're more than political. They're very hostile. We've seen that through the entire Trump era for sure. And I think you nailed it about as well as I've seen it when you referenced it as the Marxist fifth columnist. And we're actually, and you say it well, over the last eight decades, I think you're right. This didn't happen overnight. This thing has happened over many, many decades now. Give us a sense of what's taken place there, please.
Yes, I think, thank you for having me, Malcolm. I'm very, very happy to be on with you. I think what's going on is that after World War II, you have definitely, and you could somewhat, most people pin it to about 1946. And this is indicative of the Venona papers. Stanton Evan has written very good books about that. The Soviet machinery, the apparatchiks, ended up here, and we know that because we could verify that in the State Department in this country and in other places. And we have seen all through the 50s and definitely the 60s the coming to the fore of these people, these people that are actually foreign agents working here and getting into the school systems and getting into the institutions of America. And that's a very slow process in a sense, but you can see now that the mechanism is actually, I think they believe, so strong that they could take their mask off. They can actually take the mask off and say, well, we're in control here. This is why I think it's more sinister than just bureaucracies that are incompetent or they don't know what they're doing. I think the time for that kind of talk is ended, and I think we need to see what kind of let's just call it demonic forces are behind the dismantling America from the inside.
Demonic forces, wow, and dismantling from the inside. There's a misnomer out there with people. Westerners have taken comfort, you say, in the mistaken idea that the state creates social, political cohesion and a high standard of living. In reality, you say, the administrative state is a colossal bureaucratic machine that feeds itself by expanding infinitely if left unchecked. Now, listen, that is one of the best descriptions I've seen on feeding the government beast, what you say there. And if anything, Dr. Gonzalez, I think the real point here is that, you know, yeah, maybe over eight decades, a lot of things have been creeping into our lives, into society, sure. But the COVID pandemic exercise extraordinaire we've been through over the last couple of years has sort of put it all on steroids. We now see it all in the light of day. It looks like they are seizing these fifth columnists the moment, as you say, when you can take your mask out, when you do put it in, what you need to do, how you do it, really taking control of our lives. This is the best indicator right now than we've seen ever in our lives, isn't it?
Yes, I think what's going on with the COVID situation is if the COVID phenomenon would have only been in one country, any one of the Western countries, Australia, let's say, everybody sits back and saying, "Whoa, what a bad bad luck they're having." When we've had all these other SARS viruses and the one with the pig and the chickens and things, you would have said, "Well, you know, these things happen." But this has hit. The virus has hit everywhere, and everywhere, what a coincidence, the response has been the same by the institution that run all these Western countries. It's been the same everywhere. which tells us that this is something deeper. People like the, you know, Mr. Schwab and the Davos people, this great reset is clearly a moment that has several effects. I think one of them is we're going to give it to them and we're going to basically test the West and the resolute of the people or the resolve of the people to see if they can defend themselves. And I think they have been completely surprised how effective they've been. Kind of like the 9/11 terrorists that figured we'll damage the buildings, but instead we got the buildings to go down all the way. I don't expect it. They expected that. But they got they got the damage done, and they're superbly happy to do that. And in this case, the effects of the virus, assuming that in a year or so, we kind of put it behind us, which a lot of people are thinking it's not going to happen. It is a massive test of the psychology, of the psyche of Western peoples that have been precisely, I would argue, made into kind of cattle with this idea that the bureaucracies are good for us and then they give us cohesion and all that. And now the bureaucracies, as they call it, the administrative state, is basically saying, no, you don't understand. We're actually in the West taking over the control of, say, presidents. Ironically, if you go to the communist systems, the Venezuelas, the Chinas, the Cubas, it's all administrative state and there is no president. In other words, everything is centralized. And here, the administrative state, the only way it could centralize the system is by taking away the power from the president, especially when it's convenient for them. And we saw that with Trump, with the last president.
You talk a little bit about communist China's stranglehold on Western democracies, which I think is a piece of the pie of what we're talking about. How does, in your opinion, how does the West break free of this stranglehold of the Chinese Communist Party? Because we've seen Trump try to do some of those things. That was one of the biggest points of his administration, actually. How do we break free of that stranglehold?
Yeah, I think the difference between the Cold War, when you take the Soviet phenomena, the ideological, the communists spreading through the world, the universities were the first ones to handle that. Now, the corporations did not cooperate, did not work with the Soviet model because the Soviet model did not have that that Western world financial services coming to them. So China is different because China has been created by Western world, literally since the 70s, early 70s, creating this phenomena of literally creating a corporatist state. So China then buys into America, into financial financial institutions here. And so the woke corporations, let's put it this way, are obviously opportunistic. These people want to continue getting their cheap labor from China, but China has basically now overrun them and say, what you're going to do is you're going to have this, basically this this grade report, and we're going to grade you on how well you are defending us internationally. So it's not that the corporate world, these people are, you know, opportunists, are communists. I can't believe that. But they are going to say, listen, what matters here is the buck, and the Chinese understand that, or Chinese communists. And we now understand that the Chinese have total control. So to get out of that, I would argue, it's extremely difficult, but you're going to have to turn the corporations here back to being, you know, pro-business and pro-profit, et cetera, but not through the Chinese model. And remember, this is also possibly the ultimate phenomena with the Marxist phenomena, which is we will give you the rope and you will hang yourself. This idea that, you know, Marx and definitely Lenin argued that the West was going to sell us their own financial services and we were going to use it against them. I mean, that's all written down, and you could see that. And the Chinese had done that beautifully. And these people who are kowtowing to this sort of thing have sold out the West. So it's literally the whole corporate structure is the fifth column now, if you want to look at it like that.
Yeah, it looks like the Chinese read the book very, very well, to your point, and they are playing it to a T. Let me talk to you about the tipping point. You say here, citizens of Western nations today more than ever perceive that governmental health institutions have been taken over by radicalized agents of totalitarianism. Around the world, level-headed people of goodwill have given up on institutions like the CDC, federal, state, local government bodies, and World Health Organization, who we just spoke to a little earlier in the show, quite a bit about who. Talk to me, bring me from the tipping point, Dr. Gonzalez, to the breaking point.
The danger is in the response that people, citizens of the Western world, like the Canadians right now, very, very sheepish, very, very cattle-like, to put it bluntly, have not reacted. We have not seen any manifestations, peaceful ones, in the United States about any COVID, any mandate, none of this. The elections, what happened with the actual voting, we haven't seen any of that. And that's very worrisome, because the people that are running the show are basically saying, well, if you don't respond, we continue to mandate, we continue to run you down. Now, there has to be a kind of phenomena that either the people finally realize what kind of power they have, and they test the dictatorial phenomena. These people are despotic, is what they are, and test them to see what they're going to do. Otherwise, you're going to increment. They will be incrementing more despotic measures, and sooner or later, you will have yourself the police state that we're kind of seeing in Canada. And nobody seems to be upset, or few anyway. Why? Because they have convinced the badly educated human beings today, people hardly think for themselves, then sure, this is necessary. This is the new world. This is a new world where this is the phenomena that will bring us the cohesion and the peace that these other individuals cannot get away with. Another phenomena that I you mentioned the Trump. Trump has tried last, you know, the 4 years he was in, and the powers that we're talking about said, no, we cannot have this man do that. He is letting the people on to this world reset phenomena. And this is the reason he's out. And now the question becomes, I think, how are they going to control that? Because despotism requires more despotism to stay in power. Yes. And it's kind of like those dogs that go wild, and the city has to shoot them because after they sort of taste blood, they'll bite again. Yeah. And this is what worries me. How much do people take before it's too late and you end up with the gulags?
The description you say right there and how Trump is out and why, a lot of people have been looking for those answers, and you explain it pretty well there. This entire talk we just had would lend itself to the point as to why Trump is now out of office by hook or by crook. He was a canoe rocker, is what I always tell listeners right there, and they were not looking for a canoe rocker at this point in history. Unfortunately, and here we are. Now it's going to be a meeting of the minds here through the midterm election here, and as we march toward 2024, the next general election. This is a real turning point for our country. It would make for a great follow-up for you and I, Dr. Gonzalez, to talk about in the future here, because this is really between the tipping point and the breaking point. We're at a crucial moment of history, are we not?
Yes, we are. And if we had this second conversation, as you put it, I would be very interested to see if there are elections like they have been in the past, or the new measures will get in the way, some kind of phenomena, that big event that people are looking for, right, to see if they derail that. Because a lot of people in the streets are very negative about 2024. Yeah, if they absolutely did it once, they'll do it again. Yeah. They'll do it again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I look forward to not only the second conversation, but the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, and tenth with you, by the way. Welcome to the program of the network, Dr. Pedro Blas Gonzalez. It's a pleasure to have you here. And thank you for joining me on Viewpoint this Sunday, sir.
Well, thank you, Malcolm. And thank you for letting me, have a decent conversation, peaceful conversation with you. Thank you.
It is amazing, truly. Now, that op-ed, the article that we're speaking about now, is called The Coming Global Administrative State. It is surely on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com. You'll also see it in the left bar under trending. Please check that out and read that, along with the one earlier we talked about with Dr. Peter Breggin, is a must read. And that is Tedros Introduces Globalist Plan to Take Over World's Health Systems. There's a lot to talk about, my fellow Americans and our friends around the world here. We've got a lot of work to do to put liberty and justice back into place for all free people. That's all back at AmericaOutloud.com. We are surely on the front lines here. Help us with that mission, please. The stakes are incredibly high, and we must prevail at this point of history. Thank you again, as always, for joining me on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.